Ah, yes. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. This is a new show here on EFR. It is a wake-up call, and it is a sermon show centered on current events with little editorializing and something a little different than I do on my word-for-word show. I will be preaching and backing it up with scripture, of course, needs to be done. And then I'll be going after the sermon into some scripture verses and talking about current events and what's going on. So I don't miss any of the scripture. I am sort of taking up, yet reversing the format that Pastor Paul Mullett did on his Divine Truth show. Due to ill health and family problems, he had to bow out. So I have taken the Thursday night slot and have given up the Yahweh's Covenant People slot on Friday. So this show is for January the 5th, 2017. So I'll get into the sermon right away. I have a root beer here. I'm going to take a little sip of it and then hold forth. Oh, joy. Yes. Well, the name of tonight's sermon is Being Israel. So I'll get right into this. This is 2017. It is not the days of Moshe. It's not the days of Jacob Israel. It's not the days of King David. It's now. The situation then is not as it is now. It's very difficult in today's world to actually be a true, pure-blooded Israelite and live one's lifestyle in obedience to Yahweh's commands. Very difficult. We run head-on into the many roadblocks deliberately put there by the seed line of the adversary that now control the world through their money and their usury and their political connections and the Talmud vision and everything that they do with their media. We know, those of us that believe on Yahshua Messiah, that this is a temporary situation and that Yahshua, our Redeemer, will return, destroying them and their roadblocks together. But until that occurs, however, we must endeavor to be as obedient as we can. The children of the adversary have been impersonating us for a long time, claiming to be Israel when they are not. They have adopted many things commanded to us alone in order to falsely appear as Israel. They mimic us, what we're supposed to be doing, but they have twisted many of these subtly, and those that are ignorant, which is most people, of our original ways will easily fall for their deception. in order to fight back non-violently, and I stress non-violently at this point, against this outright theft of our birthright and regain possession of it, there are many things we can actually do about it. We can do things. I will talk today about commands given to true Israel by Yahweh. Many of these are considered small issues and not listed among the really big ones, but over time, the ignoring of these commands adds up. All these little things, you know, you pick up a penny. If you keep picking them up, eventually you'll have a dollar. In order to throw a monkey wrench into the workings of the adversary's children, and we know who they are. They call themselves Jews, trying to imitate Judah, Yahuda, those who praise Yah. They don't even use the name of Yahweh. We must again begin in our personal lives to obey these so-called lesser commands. In other words, don't give up any of our birthright to the impersonators. Okay? The quotes from scriptures that I will use are from the scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research, which is the Holy Name Bible, and much of the text is restored as it is in the Hebrew. I really like their translation. It's understandable, and I highly recommend this work. Now, David James did a thing on his news show today. We deal in facts, not feelings. He's coined that phrase. I wholeheartedly agree with David on that. The man has great insight. Here's number one. Now this is prevalent. This is a problem among male Israelites. Beards on Israelite men. Now, I don't want to argue about it. I'm just going to give you the scriptures, and you do what you want. Okay? It is my job to exhort to righteousness, not cram it down your throat. If you agree, fine. If you disagree, that's on you. Beards for male Israelites are mentioned all through scripture. Israelite men are to wear beards. Doesn't matter whether it's fashionable. You're to wear a beard if you're an Israelite male. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 27 states clearly, do not round the corner of your head, in other words, don't shave your hair in a pagan style and emulate the nations around you, nor destroy the corners of your beard. Rounding the corner of your head was a pagan hairstyle, and shaving the corner of your beard emulated the style of the pagan nation surrounding Israel. The fact that beards were to be worn by males of Israel is obvious in this verse. Here's some more verses that show that beards were to be worn by Israelite males. This is not passed away. I wear a beard. Pastor Eli wears a beard. Leviticus 13, verse 29. It's concerning a disease on the head or beard. Leviticus 13:30, the same subject. Leviticus 14, chapter 9, concerning the cleansing of a man with a skin disease. He had a disease in his beard, showing that he had a beard. They all had beards. Verse 21, or Leviticus 21, pardon me, verse 5, concerning pagan practices which defiled an Israelite in mourning the dead. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 13, when King Dawid feigned madness and drooled upon his beard. This clearly shows that he was bearded. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 4, when the Ammonites cut off half the beards of Dawid's messengers as an insult. Big insult. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 5. Now listen to this carefully. When King Dawid commanded those men not to return until their beards were regrown. King Dawid commanded, don't come back to the palace until you have a full beard. 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 5 is a duplicate of 2 Samuel 10, verse 5. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 41, verse 5. When 80 men had shaved their beards and done other pagan practices in mourning. Shaving your beard is a pagan practice for an Israelite man. Sorry. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 5, verse 1. When Ezekiel was to shave his hair and beard and weigh them at the command of Yahweh. Yahweh permitted Ezekiel to shave his beard because he wanted him to do something when he divided the hair and weighed it out. It was a ceremony that Yahweh desired. But Ezekiel was clearly bearded, and he let his beard grow back after that. And you'll see that here in chapter 9 of Ezra, verse 3. When Ezra tore his clothing and plucked out hair from his beard over the trespasses of Israel. Ezra, another prophet, was bearded. Book of Psalms, Psalm 133, verse 2, tells all about the beard of Aharon. Now that's a lot of evidence that we're to have beards. I have one and I keep it well groomed and neat. I've let it grow very long in the past. And I have cut it back to the point where it cannot be grabbed and used to hold me while I am assaulted because I'm getting ready for what's coming. I'm getting to the point where I'm getting physically fit and I'm doing my exercises. And a long beard, you can grab it and control a guy. If he has a long beard, you can control him and assault him. Well, I'm getting ready for combat mode, okay? I'm wearing a very clear beard. Very obvious that I am bearded. We don't have to look like an Orthodox rabbi. But we are to have a beard. This is a relatively easy thing to do. It is not a fashion statement done out of vanity. It is scriptural, and we should comply. The images presented to us on the Talmud vision tell us that being clean shaven is the thing to do. And this sells all the razors and associated products that they want to deceive us into buying, and thus breaking what we are shown in Scripture. They want us to break the laws of Scripture. They are subtle little devils, aren't they? So, wear a beard or don't. That's on you. I've given you the verses. I cannot do more than that. I've been in Judeo-Christian churches. Here's the second subject. Women praying with an uncovered head. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5 tells us clearly that a woman should cover her head while praying, but not a man. Verses 11, or chapter 11, verse 4 and 7 make it clear that a man is not to cover his head while praying. The Jews wear their little Greek student cap, called a yarmulke, all the time while praying. In direct opposition to these verses. But, as they are children of the devil and their father's works they do, this is natural for them. The book of John, chapter 8, verse 44, makes that abundantly clear. You go in a Judeo-Christian church and everybody's praying, supposedly, on the day of the sun god. And how many women do you see wearing a bonnet or a scarf over their head? Oh, we're New Testament Christians. Well, why aren't you following the New Testament? Oh, that doesn't make any difference, then why is it in Scripture? If it doesn't make any difference, why would Yahweh give us these rules? Why? Because he's bored? Yahweh is not frivolous. He does not tell us to do frivolous things. None of this that I'm reading to you is frivolous. You make the choice. It's on you. But now that you've heard it, you can't unhear it. Item three. A lot of Israel does this today. They don't know they're Israel. So I have a qualifying statement at the beginning of this paragraph. This is about Yahweh's food laws. Most of us, everybody I know, that are serious in Christian identity obey the food laws about pork, catfish, and shellfish. But those of Israel that are unaware of their heritage still consume those vile, unclean things. Now, they are bombarded by all the advertising on the Talmud Vision about all the restaurants and this, Red Lobster, blah, 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 ad nauseum. And they are taught by the so-called pastors of Judeo-Christianity, quote-unquote, that it's just fine to eat them. All you have to do is pray over them, and then they are clean. Well, I ask you, dear listeners, just where does it actually say that in scriptures? The verses about the sheet coming down, all these things, and he says, I have never eaten anything common or unclean. He's not talking in that whole passage about food or animals. He's talking about men that have been cleansed by Yeshua Messiah, and he has been refusing to go to these men that have come back into the worship of Yahweh and Yeshua, where they had been living in the Greek pagan culture, but they were Israelites by bloodline. So it has to do with men, not food or animals. People don't want to see that context. Many of our people that are sitting on the proverbial fence still eat this garbage and suffer health problems from it as a result. Yahweh doesn't give us frivolous laws. These things are unclean for a reason. Catfish is a bottom feeder. It is a garbage eater. The birds that are listed as unclean are carrion eaters. Shellfish retain toxins in their system that won't harm them, like mercury, but is deadly to us. And swine, likewise, they retain toxins in their flesh that is harmful to us, but won't harm them. They are garbage eaters. They're cleaning animals. We are not to eat them. A cow will expel the toxins in its excrement and urine. Thus, it is a clean animal, and Yahweh lists it as that. If we witness to these people concerning this, they will quote those false pastors' teachings and not that of Scripture. They even get angry over it. Well, that's a lie of the devil. Pastor so-and-so said we can eat it. What's the Bible say? I know the pastor so-and-so. Pastor so-and-so is more authoritative than Scriptures? I think not. In this, we must lead by example. This makes eating at restaurants difficult, as almost all cook pork on the same grill as the beef. This goes for the bacon cooked side by side with the eggs for breakfast. The ordinarily clean foods are rendered unclean to us by this. Food laws are a direct commandment to Israel. They are not a suggestion. He didn't say, oh, it might be nice if you didn't eat this and this. These laws we are to strictly obey, and this means we have to forego eating in places that cook pork on their grill. Yes, this is inconvenient for us, but that it is not proper for us to follow convenience, but Yahweh's laws instead. I can't force this on anybody, but I follow this in my daily lifestyle. I've been questioned about this by many people and can only witness as to what is commanded. I can quote scripture and they can believe or not believe. The questioner can believe it or not. Like I said, that's on them. As I personally will be obedient to Yahweh. And it is not an easy road that we must walk. We were never promised convenience. We were never promised easy. Item number 4, and this is something that really touches all of us. Associating with race mixers. Oh, I can hear the hair standing up on the back of the neck of the man out there. Oh, I hate them people. Yeah, I know. We should. Those of us that have jobs, now I'm retired, but when I was working, I was under this situation. Those of us that have jobs are forced to work with race mixers all the time. They are all over today's society, as this is taught as being acceptable. If you won't deal with them at all, you will soon be unemployed. In our personal lives, however, we can disassociate from them. Not inviting them into your home, not sitting down to eat with them, not going to a social function where they are present, foregoing parties. If you got a bunch of libtards there that have other race boyfriends or girlfriends, you don't want to associate with that. All of these are quite legal. At least right now they are. What will be forced by law in the future? Well, we will have to wait and see on that. They're trying to take away our free speech rights. We're not even allowed to say anything. You can and should, by all means, cut them out of your private life. They should be shunned. You don't have to answer questions. Tell those that question that it is an off-limits topic and to let you alone. Yes, this will lose you so-called friends, but anyone that supports race mixing was never an Israelite's friend in the first place. Were they? Huh? You lose nothing. Why would you want that libtard as a friend anyway? You have to go to work, got to support your family, and this is a time of trouble. I'm not saying that you have to act in a manner that's going to lose you your job and be harmful, because you need that money coming in right now in order to prepare for the tribulation that is coming. So if we're going to fight, we need to fight smart. There are ways around their liberal laws. Might make you a little unpopular, but I would be much happier being popular with Yahweh than I would with some libtard. Item number 5. We are to be a set apart people. When they say holy in the Old Testament, a lot of times that means dedicated to Yahweh and set apart. Scripture says, come out from among them and be ye separate. We are not to be as those non-Israelites around us or as those whites that live in the way of the world. We must truly come out from among them and be ye separate. We really have to do that. We, the men of Israel, are commanded, not suggested, commanded to wear a four-cornered garment with tzitzit, those are tassels, on each corner with a thread of blue in the tassel. I wear one every day if I'm going out of my dwelling. It's a modified t-shirt and I wrap the tassels myself. And the tassels hang on the outside of my trousers so they are displayed. They are to be seen. You don't hide them. I get questions all the time about what they are, and I can witness to that person if they are an Israelite that's unaware of their birthright. Non-whites get the cold stare, and never mind, it's personal. Doesn't concern them at all. I don't preach or teach to non-Israelites. Nothing in Scripture concerns them. I am reaching out only to my own true, full-blood Israelite brothers and sisters. I'm not concerned with mixed breeds. Numbers 15:38, write that down. The book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 38. And Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 12, that's Deuteronomy 22, verse 12, show this commandment. Again, it is not a fashion statement, but a direct command by Yahweh to Israel only, and only to us. The Jews wear them, but not many of them have the thread of blue. This is part of their imitation of us. Now, just because they try to mimic us does not mean we should avoid this commandment. This is another opportunity, a golden opportunity, for us to take back our heritage. Never give up the smallest part of it to the Jew. Just because they do some of the things that are ours does not mean they are Jewish things. They are stolen from us in order to imitate us. And we rightfully should take them back. Again, I can't force this on anyone. You, as an Israelite, must want to obey deep in your heart. Yahweh desires obedience above sacrifice. We are to love him with all our heart and all our being, as it says in the 10 words known as the 10 commandments. This must be a personal choice for you as an individual. It must be truly sincere and not some game you play for a while until it becomes inconvenient. Life as a true Israelite in these days is anything but convenient. Personally, I have chosen Yahweh first. What he says goes, and all the rest will work itself out. If I'm persecuted because I obey, so be it. Item number 6, and this is a big thing. This is one of the major, you must do this, commandments. Observance of the feasts. The commanded feasts are to be observed. This is also inconvenient, but it is a very big thing in the eyes of Yahweh. It may cost you greatly to do this. It is part of actually being of Israel in these days. The feasts are not a mere suggestion. They are an ironclad command from Yahweh. Observing them will perhaps put your job in jeopardy. Yes, that's right. You may get fired over it. I ask you this question though. What are the consequences of ignoring the feast? That big word, if, in the Old Testament, all through it. If you do these things, I will bless you. And if you do not these things, I will do thus and thus and thus and thus. You think he was joking? I think not. You claim to be a Christian Israelite. Okay. What did Yahshua, our Redeemer, say about the commandments? If you love me, keep my commandments. That's Book of John, Chapter 14, verse 15. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 46. These people draw near to me with their mouth and respect me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 8. And the book of Mark, chapter 7, verse 6. And this was quoting by Yahshua of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 13. What does it take to make it clear that Yahweh is first in the pecking order of the universe and that we are not? Again, these are not mere suggestions, but direct commands to Israel, and Israel only, from the divine being that created everything. We owe him obedience. We have been told clearly that we will be persecuted in the last days. And clearly, brothers and sisters, we are right smack dab in the middle of the time of Jacob's trouble. That's why I call this the sermon show, Wake Up Call. Because there are so many of Israel that need to wake up. This includes many that claim to be Christian identity, but still won't walk the walk. They play around the edges. They're using the name. Oh, I'm Christian identity. I'm CI. Uh-huh. We must keep the feasts. No if, and, or but about it. How many actually attend a feast near you? Do they keep it at home? I just have my doubts personally as to the number of actual keepers versus the sayers. I keep hearing all kinds of excuses which could have been avoided if they took the time to plan their schedules properly. Yahweh is put on the back burner instead of being put first. Honor from the lips, but no actual compliance. I am not speaking here of the truly faithful at all. And there are a number of those that are feast keepers. I am saying this to the pretenders and the fence sitters out there. Christian identity is not a hobby that you can play with. It is a way of life lived according to the word of Yahweh. Anything less is a mocking of the Holy Spirit, which Yahweh will punish. I am not warning you because I hate you. Just the opposite. I care deeply about you and want to see you in the kingdom that is coming. And it's got a foundation here now and is expanding. And when our Lord and Master and Eternal King returns, it will be physically here in totality. It's coming soon. We're running out of time. Now, these are only a few talking points here today. And all of us need to stay in the Word. That means read it and teach it to your family and learn all that Yahweh wants us to do as true, pure-blooded Israelites. If we are to claim to be Israel, then we must truly be Israel. I sincerely hope that you have received this message. In the spirit it was intended, out of love and concern for all of Israel in these perilous times. Pray without ceasing, as Scripture says, and may the Holy Spirit guide you in all you do. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh. And amen to that. Well, I've got a few minutes left in the hour. And I'm going to comment on a few things that are happening. We have in Scripture a description of evil beasts. And I'm going to read you these passages from the Scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research. It's been published in 2016. There were 2,500 shootings in Chicago. Black on black. Not so many deaths, they can't shoot straight. But if you're in a city, how many neighborhoods can't you go into as a white person? Don't you dare go into at night. And the scripture calls these non-Adamic people evil beasts. The book of Leviticus, chapter 26, verse 6. And I shall give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and no one make you afraid. Are we afraid today? Continuing on. And I shall clear the land of evil beasts. We're talking two-legged beasts. And not let the sword go through your land. Beasts were used as a derogatory term in the Hebrew all the time for non-Adamic peoples. Now here's a warning in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 5, verse 17. And I shall send against you scarcity of food and evil beasts, and they shall bereave you. That means to kill your children, make you childless. How often does that happen? How many of us, our people, are these evil beasts killing? Think about that. We all be equal? Well, I'm sorry, no. No, we're not all equal. They quote the Constitution, all men are created equal. All Adamite white Christian Englishmen, not their farm animals. This is a machination of the Antichrist among us today. That they would legislate these creatures equal to the sons and daughters of Adam. They were never designed to be equal. They were never designed to live among us. They're not from here. They're not from England. They're not from the United States. They're not from Germany. There are racial aliens from foreign lands. And I'm not speaking just of the blacks. I'm speaking of the others, the browns, whatever. We are not to mix with these people. They are not to live among us. But who, except the Jew, is pushing this race mixing agenda? So our white women will mate and have mixed breed children. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2 states clearly, shall not come a mamzer into the congregation of Yahweh, even unto the generation of the tenth, shall not come into the congregation of Yahweh. And mamzer is number 4464 in your Strong's Concordance in the Hebrew section, and it is a mixed breed or a mongrel. Well, that's harsh. Well, yeah, it is, isn't it? Scripture is harsh when it comes to such sin. And are there women and men of Israel that are race mixing, and that is sin. They destroy their bloodline forever when they do that. That is unfortunate. It has been taught, a lot of them, in the public school system that we send our children to, unfortunately, when we should be teaching them at home and teaching them the law of Yahweh instead of political correctness. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 25. And I shall make a covenant of peace with them and make evil beasts cease from the land. And we see more and more and more of the actions of evil beasts. They are all around us, among us. Let's go to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 12. But these, like natural, unreasoning beasts, having been born to be caught and destroy, blaspheme that which they do not know, shall be destroyed in their destruction. Oh my. That's racist. Yes, it is that. Now, I'm going to quote my favorite verse to you. This is the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. I quote from the scriptures. Since Elohim shall rightly repay with affliction those who afflict you. Who's afflicting us today? Verse 7. And to give you who are afflicted, that would be Israel, rest with us when the Master Yeshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers. That's a divine army, folks. Verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim and on those who do not obey the good news of our Master Yeshua Messiah. Oh, that horrible four-letter word. O-B-E-Y. Verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength? Verse 10. When he comes to be esteemed in his set apart ones, those of the remnant of Israel that are faithful, okay? We're the set apart ones, the ecclesia, those that are called out. When he comes to be esteemed in his set apart ones and to be admired among all those who believe in that day, because our witness to you was believed, because he was preaching to the Israelites in Thessalonica. I don't know what it takes to get through to a lot of people. I am fortunate enough to be affiliated with Eurofolk Radio, and a lot of the faithful listeners that have become aware and read the word, and I go to the feast and I meet other people from all over the place that are faithful and keep the feasts. I am highly privileged to have gotten to know these people. Yet I see a great many people out there that even hear the message of Christian identity, yet they do not get off their dead duff and come to the feasts, keep the food laws. Oh, that doesn't matter anymore. They play around with it. It's a hobby. Oh, yeah, they don't like a certain group of people, and they'll hang around with guys that badmouth them. They don't like the blacks, or they don't like the Jews, or both. Don't like the Mexicans. And because CI people talk about and reveal the truth about these people, they'll hang around. But as in the Judeo-Christian churches out there, membership in that church is not going to get you in to the kingdom of Yahweh, nor hanging around with Christian identity people and yet not obeying Yahweh's laws. That's not going to get you into the kingdom either. It's fake. If you're playing a game and it's a hobby, and when going gets tough, you back off and you go back into the world, you are lost. You are honoring with your lips, but your heart is far from Yahweh. If you don't want to obey His commands, don't call yourself Christian identity. Call yourself something else, but don't say you're CI if you're not CI. I'm tired of hearing it. A lot of other people in CI that are faithful are tired of hearing it. This is not a game or a hobby. It is a way of life dictated clearly in the Scriptures. Now, if I've offended anyone this evening, I'm going to quote David James' new saying, "We deal in facts, not feelings." You go, David. That's a great saying. I like that. That's excellent. And I'm going to give credit where credit is due. David has a marvelous set of shows. So, very, very good. I will be here every Thursday night at 9 o'clock p.m. We've got the inauguration coming up in a couple of weeks. We're going to watch what these evil beasts do. A lot of them are bust in. I don't know whether they will be violence or not. We just don't know at this point. They're gearing up for it. I know the police are. I just wonder when the police are going to snap and just eliminate and just cull the herd a bit. We'll have to wait and see on that. All of this is going to play out in Yahweh's timetable. Well, I'm going to close and start my music. May Yahweh bless and keep all of you. I'll talk to you next Thursday. Shalom Aleichem.